If you're over 50 and struggling to recover from sessions, if you're running in pain or battling a niggling injury, then be sure to join our upcoming Faster Beyond 50 Masterclass. In it, we'll show you how we helped a 70-year-old run a 47-minute 10K and how you can take those exact same principles and apply them in your training. Simply head over to coachpowerU.com/50 to save your spot in the Masterclass or click on the link in the description. If you want to run pain and injury free, improve your endurance and run faster, well into your 50s, 60s, and beyond, then head over to coachpowerU.com/50.
If you go into Comrades and you try and implement exactly that same strategy, but you're at a much lower intensity, doing lots of walking, you might suddenly find yourself 3 hours in, like you just don't feel good. Your jowls are sitting. It feels like you've like pulled up to your esophagus.
Welcome back to the next edition of Up. My name is Brad Nadelt. I've got the official Comrades Marathon coach, Lindsay Parry, with me. Lindsay, nice to touch base once again. You well?
I'm very good. We've been in the thick of Comrades for the last few weeks. Loads of long races are now under the belts of many runners. Some will be confident and some will have had their confidence shattered. And we are here to help you with the last real push towards Comrades.
Yeah, obviously the week ago was Two Oceans. Then this past weekend, Los Corp. I just love South Africans. There's something special about South Africans where you're running ultra marathons as training runs. There's definitely something wrong with us.
Look, it's crazy, but it's also infectious. It's an infectious disease. Just kidding. Just the Facebook Comrades, Facebook pages, the internet, Instagram, you name it, is just like full of people doing amazing things, some wise, some unwise. Brad, you and I seconded Two Oceans together a few weeks ago, and we came across a guy that was basically strapped from head to toe. And what did he say to us? He said to us, "I wish I had listened. You guys have said so many times, don't do Cosmos 3-in-1. I did Cosmos 3-in-1. Haven't been able to run since, and I had to pull out at the 14K mark at Two Oceans." So, yeah, we're doing some crazy things. Some of them are paying off, but in a lot of cases, they're not. And that's what the pod's about, right? It's about giving people information so they can hopefully make some smarter decisions. As I said, in my club in particular, some incredible runs were dished out at Los Corp on the past weekend. So time will tell if they've over-clubbed and that it'll cost them when it comes Comrades race day. But yes, as we said, those long runs are coming thick and fast.
Yeah, absolutely, Lindsay. And I mean, we spoke about the sort of timing where Two Oceans is in the Comrades calendar now, and with a fixed date, it does change things up a little bit because it's quite far out from Comrades race day. And this coming weekend is 6 weeks to go to race day, to the big dance. And a lot of people are now trying to squeeze in extra long runs and that sort of thing. But 6 weeks is typically what you like for the novices to do their long run out. Let's talk about this coming weekend. There are a couple of marathons happening around the country as well. But as a long run for the novices, what should they be looking out for this weekend?
Yeah, it's really important. And I think we have to discuss it both in the ideal terms and say, look, what is the long run about? Why do I like it done at this time, 6 weeks out for novices? But then we also have to discuss it in the context of knowing that we had Two Oceans 2 weeks ago. We've had Los Corp Dam this past weekend. There is Wally Hayward coming up. There's Buffalo coming up. So in these contexts, what does that mean? So if you've been following one of the Coach Perry plans in particular, and if you haven't deviated left or right, then I like the novice long run to be 6 weeks out because it really does just give you that little bit longer to recover. And I think what's quite difficult for a lot of people to understand, and in particular the slower novices, is that your exposure, the damage that is done when you do the long run, is very different to the damage that's done both more experienced runners, but in particular much faster runners, because your relative intensity is the same, but you're out there for much longer. It's also why I really like to think of a lot of things in terms of time rather than thinking of them in terms of kilometers, But I fully appreciate how important this long run is as a almost rite of passage, as a tick box in your mind that you are on the right track and that you are progressing nicely towards comrades. And so 6 weeks is really where I've settled on with the novices. And over the years, that's worked really well because it just gives you that extra week or two to recover from doing the long run. The second aspect of the long run is around what we want to get out of it. Okay, so we want to get this idea out of it that we are confident that the training has been working, but it is not an actual test of your fitness. It's not for you to see how quickly you can do a 50 kilometer. In fact, the opposite. It's to give you a taste of what comrades is going to feel like. So you want to be running at comrades' race pace, which is almost across the board slower than what you are used to doing in training. And so that for me is one of the crucial aspects of this long run, is actually dialing in what's my race plan going to be, what speeds am I going to run at, how often am I going to walk, what nutrition am I going to take, which is also very different because when you run slower, your nutritional requirements are different. So you may have been using things in training in races that have worked well for you to now in races, but because you haven't done a comrades race pace, you actually don't know if you can stomach the same amount. So if you've run a marathon, for example, at a much higher intensity than at comrades, you can tolerate X number of gels every 45 minutes, and it gets you the finish, you're feeling good, stomach is all good. If you go into comrades and you try and implement exactly that same strategy, but you're at a much lower intensity, doing lots of walking, you might suddenly find yourself 3 hours in, like you just don't feel good. Your gels are sitting, it feels like you've like filled up to your esophagus, and that's all coming down because the demands in the short term are much lower. They may be higher and more demanding in the long term, but that means we have to space out our energy better. And so what you want to do is look at this long run as literally your dress rehearsal. It's like, fine, I want to get a taste of this. I want to know what's going to be happening. That means you want to be using the socks, the shoes, sun visor, suntan lotion, Vaseline, the plasters that you're going to be using. Females, that means using bras and literally everything that you are planning on using and wearing on race day, that's what you want to be wearing for this long run. How long? Now, again, for novices, I'm quite particular about this. I want to look at it as a 50K maximum run. I know a lot of people in discussions with me, they're trying to get me to concede 55, even 60 kilometers. Way too far. I mean, again, if I can just refer back to where I started, and that is that your exposure is going to be much longer than a silver medal runner or a gold medal runner, where typically all the training advice has come from and been passed down over the years. And that's where this kind of 60 to 65K long run came from 4 weeks out. But it's crazy for you to be thinking in those numbers. You want to be doing 50 kilometers maximum. And therefore, if you've done two motions, if you've done Los Corp this weekend, you actually need to treat those as your long run. And you're going to do your so-called comrades long run considerably shorter. In fact, if you've done two oceans or Los Corp, then you don't want to be doing it this weekend. You're going to postpone it by a week or two, and it's going to be a maximum of 40Ks. Okay, so back to plan A, 6 weeks out, maximum of 50Ks, comrades race pace. Those are literally the three most important items in terms of what, how, and when. And then, very important, you are going to try and enact race day as close to race day as you can in terms of all the kit you're going to wear, the nutrition you're going to take, how often you're going to take it. And that's really what you are striving towards for your comrades long run 6 weeks out as a novice.
Lindsay, there's going to be people trying to figure out how you did that thing with your fingers. With I can do that, but I can't get that's just weird. If you're listening to this, you have no idea what I'm talking about, make sure you check out the YouTube channel. That was just weird. I'm not even going to ask you to do that again. Your fingers aren't supposed to do that, just so you know.
Now that you're showing it to me, I don't even know how I did it. I can't remember doing it, but there we go. yeah.
No worries. That's weird. Lindsay, you spoke about the if you ran Oceans and or Law Scorp. Hopefully you haven't done both. I mean, the challenge is now there's again, I mean, we've spoken about this lots throughout the series of podcasts, that there's always talk about how much mileage you should be doing and the crazy amounts of numbers. What happens if you get to this point in your training and you feel like you've done too much, that you are knackered, that you are slightly injured? Do you push through this and go, well, I need to get another long run in? Or do you back off and trust what you've done, make sure you've recovered, and going into that final stretch feeling okay?
So a little bit of fatigue is all right and normal. So we do need to build up some fatigue to improve fitness. That's a fact. So if you're feeling a bit tired now, a little bit ropey, that's okay. Normally your test there is, okay, how tired am I? So I'm waking up, I'm not feeling amazing, that's all good. Go out for your run, and if you've got a high intensity session planned and in the warm-up you just really feel sluggish for the whole warm-up and you feel a bit down and lethargic, then shift your speed work or hill work or whatever to later in the week, but keep the run easy. And similarly, if you are tired, but once you get going 15, 20 minutes in, you actually start to feel quite good, that's a good sign. That means the fitness is where it needs to be. It means that you are tired and tired enough, but not overtired, and then you can keep your training going on fairly well. We touched on it really early in the pod series, but look at your sleep and your sleep quality. In other words, am I sleeping well? Am I falling asleep easily enough? And am I staying asleep? So sleep disruptions are often a really good sign that our hormones are out of sync because we're just not recovering properly and that we are under stress. Our cortisol is too high, and that disrupts our sleep. So that, look at your sleep cycle, see how you're sleeping. If you're tired and sleeping like a machine, that's where we want to be. If you're tired but are struggling to fall asleep or falling asleep easily enough, but then wake up and can't go back to sleep, those are good signs that you are overdoing it slightly. And then loss of appetite's a really big one. I mean, if you are training hard, you should be feeling hungry all the time. And if you're not, and if you're having to force yourself to eat and you just don't feel like eating, that's another classic sign that actually that fatigue has gone a bit far. And then take a few extra rest days, Brad. I think it's as simple as that. You can actually pull these things back really quickly, especially when you're fit. 24, 48, 72 hours. That's typically what it'll take if you are near the edge. If you've fallen off the edge, can take a week to 2 weeks. And if you just ignore it, then you can give yourself months. And then pain, Brad, you mentioned, I'm sore, should I push through it? Pain's a no-no. If you're sore, you stop, you sort it out. That's really, really important. I mean, you've heard it. I'm sure the listeners have heard it. 68% of the people who start, 68% of the people who don't finish, comrades, didn't finish because they started with an injury. So that's quite a mouthful, but really, in short, if you start, comrade, sore, you have got a much higher chance of not finishing. And so if you sore or there's pain, rest, get it sorted out, miss a few days of training, but please sort out that pain.
Yeah, Lindsay, we spoke about the novices and the long runs. We're going to talk about the guys and girls who are going for slightly faster medals in a mo. But you touched on a really important point there, that if you are feeling like super fatigued, super tired, taking a day or two or three off, a lot of people at this stage in their comrades training are worried to do that. They think they're going to lose fitness. That's not the case. Like, you are, if in doubt, leave it out. It's just... missing lots of training is when you're going to start losing fitness. But as you said, a day or two here or there now is better for you in the long run, particularly if you are feeling fatigued. You're not going to lose any fitness.
100%. And I mean, I was going to, and we are going to really unpack that in next week's pod. But I think that's really good advice with the backdrop of Two Oceans and Orme des Dames, and now going into the long run for those that didn't do those races. But a couple of days off to get rid of the stiffness. I mean, if it's the first time you ever run 50Ks, even if you run it at comrades race pace, you good chance you're still going to be stiff. You're going to have done something that you haven't done before. And so actually allowing your body to recover from that will make you stronger. But paneling yourself, especially if there's some stiffness present, that can really make you tired and lead you underperforming on race day. In one of our early webinars, we actually had Sean Micklejohn on one of the comrades webinars, and one of his answers to Brad's questions around his long run and how he used to tackle it. And what he said in the insight there was brilliant. He said his mission always on the comrades long run was to run it easy enough that he could run the next day. And he said, for the really long runs, just because you can doesn't mean you should. So he used to aim that he could run if he wanted to, but he didn't run. He actually rested and allowed himself to recover. And yeah, we're definitely gonna dive into that and unpack that on the next podcast.
I was watching London Marathon yesterday, Lindsay, and in the race commentary, I don't know if anybody else picked it up, where they were saying you need to get bored before you get tired. And I was like, I love that. That is just that sums up comrades training to a T. That is the best way to approach it, I reckon. Let's talk. You mentioned webinars that we had Sean Micklejohn on. We do have a webinar coming up this week, by the way. If you want to register for it, you can click on the link that's in the description below. Make sure you grab your seat. It is going to be another doozy. So join us live. If you've got any questions, bring them along. That is coming up this week. So click on that link. Let's talk about, for the rest of the people, you spoke about the novices particularly, but what about perhaps people who are going for a silver, or perhaps they're going for a Bull Rowan? Do things change for them with regards to the long run? Running the Comrades Marathon doesn't have to be scary and intimidating. Just thinking about running 90 kilometers or 56 miles should give you butterflies in your stomach. Add to that the hills you have to run up and down and having to do it in under 12 hours. The thought of it is enough to freak the most seasoned runner out. Never mind a newbie to ultra running or a Comrades Marathon novice. As much as Comrades is a physical challenge, it's just as much a mental challenge. The constant mental gymnastics of second guessing yourself takes its toll. Am I training enough? How long should my long runs be? How many marathons should I run? What does this pain in my knee mean? My ankle is sore, should I rest or run? And then the two big ones. Am I fast enough and will I finish? The questions never stop. The constant worrying is exhausting. And that's exactly why we've created the Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap. It's a proven step-by-step training plan to get you from where you are today to having a Comrades medal around your neck without the stress and worry, knowing that you've done what it takes to finish the ultimate human race, feeling strong and in control, ensuring that you arrive at the start line fit and most importantly, injury-free, because more than 64% of those who didn't finish the race last year started with an injury. The Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap guides you through every step of your comrades' journey. Training, qualifying, tapering, and race day. We've got you covered every step of the way. Simply head over to coachparry.com/up to get access to it now, or simply click on the link in the description. That's coachparry.com/up. Now back to the podcast.
Yeah, so in terms of the timing, it does, but the purpose of the long run. And so we are obviously going to touch each week as we go forward and kind of remind people you should be doing long run, but the purpose of that isn't going to change. That's the same for everybody. The long run is about dialing in, getting your body used to running comrades pace, comrades intensity, checking your nutrition. You know, even people that have run 14, 15, 20 comrades, over that period of time, knowledge has changed, the type of products that are available have changed, and our own palate changes. I know, having run since I was 6 years old, that I often find products that I really like. I like the taste of them, but eventually I want something different. I want something new. I want to have a change up. And, you know, when that happens, invariably I'm like, wow, there's a ton of new products on the market that I want to try out. So there is even some refinement that needs to take place for the most experienced runners. And the time to do that is in training. And the time to then perfect that is when we get to this Comrades Long Run. So those things are the same and they're standard for everyone when we do them changes. And so for the bulk of the comrades, participants. 5 weeks for me is a good number. You've got more experience. Your body can handle a little bit more. You recover quicker because the damage isn't quite as bad as it is when you're a novice. So 5 weeks out for me is the perfect number. And then for your silver, and in particular, you're kind of 7 hours and faster. So 7.5 hours down and in particular, seven down. 4 weeks out is a good number. Again, the distances are important. So for the bulk of the runners, so between 7.5 hours and 11 hours, I'd say, and a bit of experience doing your third or fourth comrades, 50 to 55. So I still really don't like people going longer than 55. 50 to 55 is the number for all the same reasons stated. And then even your silver guys, 4 weeks out, 60Ks for me is too far. Again, I like 50. 55 is okay. But, you know, the reality is we train a lot. The silver guys, I'm always joking about the fact they don't have family and they don't like the other way around. They don't have friends and they don't like their family. But the reality is you are training a lot, but you're still training knowing, yeah, what the elites are training to allow them to just keep doing what they do to themselves week in and week out. And so much more than 50Ks, 4 weeks out, and you are putting yourself in a position where you got a really high risk of either being injured before you start or just running on tired legs. So the principles are the same across all the medals, Brad. But yeah, the timings differ slightly. But what also is equally important is that regardless of how experienced you are, regardless of how fast you are, if you've done two oceans, you've done Lost Corp, I would still count those as my longest runs. And then I would adjust everything from there. Silvers, you're still going to keep yourself 4 weeks out, but suddenly your long run's going to drop to 40 to 45 kilometers. And if you ran oceans in particular, and you are a slower runner, slower than 7.5, etc., then you might shift that long run to 4 weeks out, but then it must be a maximum of 40Ks. But what's really important is that if you've had pain, if you've experienced pain, if you've had stiffness after two oceans, then you want to err on being cautious. So then you push that long run at least 3 weeks away from oceans, and you'd shorten it, pull it down to 40Ks. If you've genuinely run two oceans easy enough, Lost Corp easy enough, and you have felt like, oh, I could carry on training as normal from here, then you can still look at around 45 maximum, and you probably don't have to play too much around pushing it too close to race day. But yeah, I think those are the really important broad strokes around the long run. For everybody, it is your dress rehearsal. It's not a race. It's your opportunity to make sure that your sock shoe combination is perfect. It's your opportunity to figure out at that slower pace, how does the chafe change? Do you still chafe in the same place? Do you need to put Vaseline in a new place? How comfortable is my cap, my sunglasses? Yeah, all of that stuff, critical. And then the one thing I haven't mentioned, can't believe I haven't mentioned it, is that what you really want to get out of this long run is your list. You want to make your list of absolutely everything that you need, used, and worked for you, so that as you get closer to comrades race day and you get nervous and things are happening really fast, you're trying to finish things up at work, tie things up around the family, etc., that you don't forget any of that stuff at home, that you actually have your list, you make sure you pack everything and it goes with you to do it.
Absolutely. Lindsay, we spoke about taking time off for fatigue, but it's that time of the year, particularly in South Africa, where it's starting to get a bit chillier in the mornings, especially if you train early morning before work. It's obviously dark. Because we're training so hard, our immune system is a little bit down. What can we do to, one, make sure we stay healthy for this final bit of hard training, but also, two, if we do start coming down with something, what's the best way? Do we push through it? Do we take off? What's the way to deal with that?
I think the best way is to avoid people, Brad. No, but yeah, I mean, that is tongue-in-cheek a little bit serious. So you want to try and avoid big crowds. You want to, if where possible, avoid being in confined spaces with lots of people. And then you want to sleep well. I mean, like sleeping well, eating well, those are things that are really going to help to boost your immune system and help you recover better and make sure that that sort of immune suppression isn't as bad. Dress warmly. So when you go outside, make sure that you have got the appropriate kit on. When you get back from runs, quickly strip off wet clothes, because if you stay in the wet clothes, and this is a real misconception that people think it's the cold weather that makes you sick, but if you train outside in the cold, you dress warmly enough, you come in and you're sweating, and then you let your body temperature drop because you stay in that wet kit, that drop in temperature further drops your immune system. So it just makes you more susceptible to catching what's around you. It in itself doesn't make you sick. So you want to get in there, strip off the wet stuff, get dry, have a nice warm shower, bath, whatever it is that you prefer. Get dressed nice and warmly and make sure that you stay warm. That's really the key there to reducing your risk even further. Taking things like multivitamins. If you struggle to eat well and get in a well balanced diet, then look at supplementing with some sort of multivitamin, vitamin C, and those kind of things will really help you. But yeah, eating well, sleeping well, getting dry and warm, those are your big tick box items to staying healthy.
And if you do pick up something now, do you train through it?
No. I mean, I think it's a difficult thing to do, because it doesn't matter how many times we say that missing a few days isn't going to make the world of difference. But when you are sick and when you're in it, then that's hard. It's like you do feel like you're missing training. You do feel like things are ticking. If you haven't done your comrades long run and you get sick this week, then you start to feel like, well, I'm missing one of the most important sessions. So it's very hard. But what you want to do is make sure you don't get sicker. And so just like an injury, if you get sore, you want to stop so that you get better. Illness is the same. You want to stop so that you don't get any sicker for a start, but also that you get healthy as quickly as possible. Because if you get really sick, so if you start with a nasal drip and it's a little bit up here and in your sinuses, but you insist on carrying on training and then it gets into your chest, much bigger problem, out for longer, feel worse. It's like a vicious cycle that starts. So if you are sick, can it? I mean, going into race day, and I'm sure this one will come up again, but going into actual race day, you're training for 6 months, you get sick, then go and see a doctor. Try and figure out, is it viral, is it bacterial? Make smart choices. Let the doctor advise whether it's something that you should or shouldn't be training with, and what your risk is of doing like serious permanent damage if you participate while being sick. But now, while you're in training, miss those few days. What invariably happens, and that I've just seen it so many times, is that you'll push on for 2 days thinking, I'm just going to see how it goes. And then the next thing, even if you wanted to exercise, you're so sick that you can't exercise. And if you just didn't do the previous 2 days exercise, there's a reasonable chance that you would not have gotten that sick. And even if you were going to get that sick, your immune system would have been able to build itself up in those 2 days so that it can just fight the illness better and that you can get healthier quicker.
Some great advice there, Lindsay. Thank you very much for that. And then just finally, to wrap things up, now's not the time to train for comrades like I was at university, where you know the exam's coming and it's time to start working. If you are behind the curve with regards to mileage, maybe you've not done as much as you should have been doing, what's the deal with trying to catch up now and cram in as much as you can now with comrades looming large?
Look, in running, you never cram. Cramming is your number one risk of getting injured. I mean, there is nothing that is a higher risk than cramming. So I'm going to go just quickly off topic because I've remembered something and then I'm going to forget to say it. But talking about injuries and injury risk, because it's getting darker, please wear reflective gear and headlamps so that you can see where you're going and you don't step in something and injure yourself. But importantly, so that vehicles, bicycles, cars, motorbikes, etc. can see you so that they don't drive into you and completely ruin your chance of comrades. So make sure as it's getting darker that you also are safe and that you carry on. But if you've had an injury and you're trying to get fit, or you got a substitution late and you're trying to get fit for comrades, I've had a few Mayday programs that I've written in the last 10 days. But the key to those is actually just consistency, Brad. It's actually not trying to catch up. And you're also not going to build up the degree of fatigue that the other runners are going to be building up. So you also probably won't taper as such. But it's about being consistent and applying yourself in a low to moderate risk zone, and just maintaining that moderate volume, low intensity, so that we just don't hurt you, but that we do enough training that you give yourself a decent shot at running the 86 kilometers.
Lindsay, as always, awesome catching up. I love doing these. The feedback has been amazing. If this is the first one you're listening to, please go back and listen to as many of them as you can, because even though they are time-bound, there's lots of great information over the last number of weeks that we've been doing this. And then also don't forget that gentleman's agreement is still in place. Lindsay and I take time out and resources to do these. They're absolutely free. We don't ask for anything in return except that gentleman's agreement that you leave us a subscribe. Make sure you hit subscribe on the channel, and you tell your running mates about these. So share them in WhatsApp groups, in your club training groups, just so that other people can get this information as well. We really do appreciate that. Lindsay, as always, thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to catching up again next week.
Cheers, Brad.